Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:30 PM, the Pacific Summer Time. Today is September 16th. I thought we'd kick off today with the yen, but it's been an eventful day, both in terms of what's happening in terms of the Fed and their statements about how long they're going to wait until they raise interest rates, and then contrasting that against what we're seeing in Japan. So the yen chart, I think, is rather interesting because obviously, we had the very significant depreciation of the yen immediately after Abe took power in 2012. And the yen has been appreciating since 2015. There was the massive reaction against the prevailing trend in early 2016. Then we had a significant pullback. But since then, and really since the middle of 2015, there has been a clear succession of higher major reaction lows. Now, there is also the determination of the Bank of Japan to defend the upper side of this base formation. So then we have to at least consider how willing is the Bank of Japan to print a ton of money? Because the Federal Reserve has said in here today that they're not going to raise interest rates until they have clear evidence of inflation. They don't just want to see inflation up to 2%. They want to see it above 2% and holding that level for a prolonged period of time. So, and then they also said that they don't want to raise interest rates until unemployment rates come all the way back down. So they are sending a signal to the market that they don't want to raise interest rate for years, and that they are willing to do whatever it takes to get inflationary pressures moving again. Now, that throws the onus for depreciating the yen back onto the Bank of Japan. What are they going to do? Are they going to arrest the advance of the yen in here right now? Because there is obviously a base formation underway. We have a succession of higher reaction lows. That tells us that there is accumulation underway. And when we get the massive reaction against the prevailing trend, then we get this period of right-hand extension. So we've had the base formation. We've had the period of right-hand extension. It's been going on already for 3.5 years, more than that, in fact. And then we've seen the yen coming back up to test the 0.1 level, 0.01 level. So now the question is, what is the Bank of Japan going to do? Are they going to cast caution to the wind and start printing with abandon? Well, they may or they may not. So far, they've been somewhat reticent to do that. And then we also have a new, less aggressive, less dynamic, or a compelling personality person taking over as Prime Minister of Japan. There just might not be the same intention to devalue the currency like we had back in 2012 and 13. So I think that's a relevant consideration. Then when we look at the euro, well, it has clearly broken out. It has very definitely broken the succession of lower rally highs since the peak in early 2018. It's been pausing around the 120 level, but this really doesn't look like much more than a consolidation, and it has plenty of room in which to consolidate. Now, obviously, there is still an overextension relative to the trend mean, and if it were to pull back to 115, then that would at least unwind some of the overextension. So there is, of course, the potential that we may have a rally for the dollar in the short term. But when we think about the medium term, yes, Europe has been willing to increase the size of the balance sheet. They've been willing to make additional funds available. And then you have the actions of the European Commission to create federal bonds, and then also to make outright gifts to some of the most under pressure economies. So there is a determination in Europe to ensure that deflation doesn't take hold there either. but they're not nearly as aggressive. And the quantity of money that's been printed has been extraordinary already on a global basis. But it's worth remembering that the USA has been responsible for more than half of all the money that's been printed. Then when we look at the renminbi, it has also strengthened meaningfully, and it was in additional positive territory again in here today. So now the big, and personally, I was wrong. I thought that the renminbi would not strengthen back through 7, and it clearly has. So now the trend has clearly been broken, and the Chinese are willing to allow their currency to appreciate. So that's also representative of the fact that, yes, China has been engaged in stimulative action, but not as aggressively as the USA has. And that's one of the major factors behind the strength of the renminbi. But it's also helping to sustain the commodity price. So the continuous commodity index, which is equal weighted, was in additional positive territory in here today. It has confirmed near-term support in the region of 400, and it is continuing to hold the sequence of higher reaction lows from the retest of the low back in April. Well, then we also have the fact that oil prices rebounded from the $40 level in here today, and that is at least confirming near-term support in the region of that psychological level, and also the upper side of the underlying trading range from all the way back between March and May. Well, at least with today's move, there is the chance that oil prices are still on a recovery trajectory, and West Texas Intermediate is now back in the region of the trend mean and the psychological 40 level, when I think perhaps it is more useful really to look at the second month continuation chart for West Texas Intermediate. But the bigger picture here is that oil prices are still on a recovery trajectory. Meanwhile, the energy sector has been under a great deal of pressure. There is a lot of questioning about whether oil is even capable of recovery, and whether that is a short or medium or long-term consideration. One thing we can certainly say is that the renewable sector continues to do very well. Solar sector rebounded impressively over the course of the last couple of days. When we then think about the private equity sector, when we think about the fact that they've been investing heavily in renewable energy infrastructure for utilities, then they've also been steadying over the course of the last while in the region of the trend of, excuse me, of the previous peak, and rebounded impressively from the region of the trend mean. This is right across the boards. We're seeing that investors are more willing to give the benefit of the doubt to renewable energy than to conventional fossil fuels. There is a couple of different reasons for that, but I think the most important is that investors have pretty much concluded that there's going to be a carbon tax, and that fossil fuel producers are going to be inconvenienced as a result of that. And it's a legitimate question, and it's, I think, probably going to be very much dependent on just how European governments continue to evolve with their Green New Deal. But then the outcome of the US election is also likely to be a significant factor. Well, if we go back and think about the dollar and currencies, the dollar index is heavily weighted by the euro. So there is the potential here that we may see some additional upside for the dollar to unwind the oversold condition. But the Asia dollar index is more heavily weighted by the renminbi. So it was up in really quite impressive fashion over the course of the last few days, and it is right on the cusp of breaking the succession of lower rally highs. And Asian currencies have been underperforming since 2011, and that has been one of the most significant factors in deterring international investors from participating in emerging markets. So if this trend can be broken, and it is likely it will be broken because the renminbi has already broken out, then it's going to create demand for emerging markets generally. Then when we think about Hong Kong and Chinese shares, well, they've been largely range-bound for 12 years. We had a very significant rush on the upside in 2007 in anticipation of the creation of the stock connect between Shanghai and it was either Shanghai and Hong Kong or Shenzhen and Hong Kong. And today we have both, but it doesn't have nearly the same effect on sentiment. Now, there's still a clear succession of lower rally highs on the H share index. And then, of course, we've got the clear downtrend as well over the same period of time in the Hang Seng, but it's at least holding the lower side of the range over the last 3 months. The CSI 300 has been rather different, however, and it has at least been able to hold most of its gains. So there is a favoring among Chinese investors for domestic plays rather than investing in Hong Kong. Then we also have the questions about whether some of the most successful companies are going to relist and what that's going to mean for liquidity in the domestic market and the Hong Kong markets. But so far, this breakout from the range over the last 5 years has held. And it, although it was in negative territory in here today, there is certainly the scope that this breakout will be sustained. The continued appreciation of the currency will start to attract investor interest to China in just the same way that it does for other markets. But then when we think about the Indian market, any period of time where the rupee has been reasonably steady has translated into additional foreign interest for Indian shares, and the Nifty index has held its succession of higher reaction lows and is pushing back up towards the upper side of the range. The BSE 500 index doesn't have that higher highs over the last few years. They've been pretty much equal highs, but the index is coming right back up to test the upper side of the range. It's a clear failed downside break below the 14,000 level. And India has outperformed Chinese markets by a really quite significant margin over the course of the last decade. And I do think that that is much more about improvements in governance that we've seen in India, and also the fact that it's coming off a lower base. So it has greater potential for outperformance. The Malaysian ringgit has been quite steady over the course of the last few years, and the KLCI, the Kuala Lumpur Composite, improved upon its performance again in here today. As commodity-related markets do better, Australia was in positive territory today, but it was led higher by the healthcare sector. The resources sector was also in positive territory, although some of the leading decliners on the index were among the resources sector as well. But if we're going to see continued interest in commodities, then the industrial metal miners should do better. BHP Billiton, as one of the major, the really big heavyweight in the industrial resources sector, continues to firm from the region of the trend mean. Rio Tinto, which has made a much bigger play on green resources, has been outperforming, and it hasn't quite been able to sustain the break above 5,000 in here today, but there is clear potential that it will continue to do better from here. When we then think about what's going on in Europe, well, obviously the big questions are going to be about just how much liquidity is going to be made available. The European market is heavily dependent on exports and the health of the global economy. The Euro Stoxx index continues to firm from the region of the trend mean, so that is quite positive. But I think it's also worth considering that the emerging markets index, which is heavily weighted by China, has been going sideways for 10 years. The European markets have been going sideways for 20 years. Japan has been is really putting in a first step above the base, but it's been going sideways for 30 years. So we've got these very long-term base formations in a large number of indices, and they have not had the clear catalyst for appreciation because of the strength of the dollar and the strength of the technology sector over the course of the last decade. The clear outperformance of the Nasdaq has been a magnet for speculative flows over the course of the last decade. When we think about the index, it's gone from 2,000 to 12,000 in the space of a decade, and there is no other global index has done the same thing in any developed market. So that has been a magnet for flows. Well, over the course of the last few years, the strength of the dollar has been an additional tailwind for US assets. Now, the strength of the dollar is being called into question. The continued ability of the technology shares to continue to outperform, well, that's also starting to be questioned, and not least because of their valuation. The Nasdaq was in negative territory again in here today. It's still right in the region of the 50-day moving average. That's the first area of potential support for any momentum move. So it will be meaningful if we see the index pull back below that level. It would suggest that we're moving into more of a mean reversion that will be deeper and lengthier in terms of the duration and depth of the pullback. So the big question then for momentum traders is whether this is a buy the dip scenario. When we look at some of the other big companies, well, Amazon is back below its 50-day moving average, so is Netflix, so is the Microsoft price, and a number are encountering resistance in the region of the 50-day moving average. So we've seen a number of high-profile companies fail in the region of the 50-day moving average. There are others that are still above it. Nvidia is one of those, so is Tesla. But the bigger picture here is that breadth within the large cap technology sector is deteriorating, whereas breadth does appear to be widening in the smaller cap sector. And we've seen that the Russell 2000, for example, has bounced from the region of the 50-day and the 200-day moving average, and it still has the succession of higher reaction lows. So there is, I think, a rotation going on. It's quite clear that commodities and cyclicals are doing better, and that investors are willing to bet that we will have vaccines by the end of the year. The Nasdaq Biotech Index has also bounced from the region of its trend mean, and it was in additional mildly positive territory in here today. But this looks like a first step above the base. So as we look forward into the latter portion of this year and next year, there's the clear potential that we're going to have some rotation, that some of the most beaten down sectors will recover, at least partially, as a result of reopening and I think improving animal spirits among investors, and a lot of consumers that still have jobs are cash rich. Their consumption levels have contracted over the course of the last 8 months, and that money is probably burning a hole in their pockets. So we're likely to have a very significant rebound next year, but it's contingent on vaccines being improved and then also being made available, and that may not happen until the beginning of next year. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.